helping you experience your life today, the next 24 hours, just the way God intended. That's our mission here at Intentional Living Center, and our whole team here love you and want the best for you and your family, and that's why we're here. Jennifer, Stephen, the rest of our team upstairs, and those around the country who are working all together here to help you do exactly that. That's what we want for our lives, to experience life today, these 24 hours, the way God intended. Randy Carlson, listen, here's a question for you. We're going to kind of focus on marriage the next 28 minutes. Imagine you woke up this morning and whatever it was in your marriage that has been a concern, a problem, a hurt, was gone. How would your life be different? Interesting question, isn't it? We're going to find out and be reminded today that it comes down to the little things in marriage. It comes down to the small things that can become big things in our relationship. I was thinking of a story from World War II. Any of you historians remember the one of the biggest battles of World War II was the battle for Stalingrad, which was, what, in 1942, I think. And in Stalingrad, you had the German tanks waiting to enter the city. And they were in reserve out in the grass area waiting, apparently, for some time. And when they were called on to come to the front line, out of the 104 tanks, only 20 of them would work. And the engineers found that the problem was that some mice had gotten into all the tanks and eaten up some of the wiring. Has it ever happened in your car? I mean, this happens. This is a problem. The point being that it can be the little things that can make a big difference. The Bible talks about this in the Song of Solomon, about the little foxes that can destroy a vineyard. And, of course, that's a picture of the little sins that can just damage our lives. You ever notice how it's little things in your marriage that tend to be the become the big things in the relationship? We're not communicating. We're not on the same plan when it comes to raising the kids. We're not resolving our conflicts in a healthy way, or our emotions are getting in the way, which really raises the question and what we want to talk about today. Let's get really practical. If it's true that it's little things that make a difference, what are some little one things that you could start doing or are doing or is being done in your marriage now that's making a difference? Intentional living is about today. Here's a question. What one thing could you do today, or one thing you do today in your marriage that will make the biggest single difference in your relationship? Give me a call. Let's talk about this. People are listening. Marriages need encouragement. We can help each other today. 888-888-1717.
I want to do one thing that might improve this. I mean, our relationship in general needs to be good because we have kids. And, you know, maybe it will improve us.
If you wake up and have that intentional living attitude of, I want to love this person no matter what, as much as I possibly can, and outlove that person, it will change your marriage.
What I've learned is it's important to remember who you're accountable to.
So my one thing is just being a hands person, you know, doing more with more, because my wife's love language is acts of service.
One of the things that we have been doing while I was working is she would text me a little message during the day, or I would text her, and we'd kind of peg each other back and forth all day.
I found out pretty quickly into our marriage that he wasn't perfect, and I started to change my perspective just by keeping a list of things that I really appreciate about him. And I got to where I couldn't stop adding to the list. There were so many things.
Number one is my husband and I, we've made the commitment of praying every morning together before it goes. But we're learning together over the years to not only pray for our needs, but to pray for the needs of others. And then learning to pray to be better helpmates to each other.
Yeah, you think, is it that simple? You know, can we solve a problem in a marriage if we just start doing one thing? I think so. Now, listen, even if you got some big problems in your marriage, sometimes you got to start small. And maybe the one thing you have to do is to acknowledge, we got a problem here, and ask your spouse this question. What one thing could I change, one thing I could do or become or be or whatever to help our marriage get stronger. And then thoughtfully talk about that. I know it's that can be a trigger point in a marriage. I've done enough counseling to know that can be a trigger point. So be careful. But if you can have an honest discussion to talk about, well, what is it? What's one thing that would make a difference? And do that for 30 days till it becomes a habit in your life. This isn't about bondage. This is about service. This is about loving. This is about making a relationship work together for God's glory and, frankly, for the benefit of your family and everybody around you. So join in. 888-888-1717 is the phone number. And Cheryl there in Illinois, thank you for your call. Share with us, what's your one thing that's going to make a difference in your relationship? Again, 888-888-1717. All right, Cheryl, go right ahead.
We enjoy doing events together, and I cook for my husband, you know, make sure I get his three meals in a day. But my one thing is I want to be, as we do our events together and go places together, I want to be in the household, I want to be a better listener to him, not interrupting him, not having the last word, just breaking that generational bad habit I learned, and just letting him lead me and showing respect that way.
Is that hard for you?
It is hard for me because it was something I saw growing up within the family line, but I don't want to do that. I want my husband to lead me like the Bible says.
Why is that important to you?
I love him so much and I want to show him respect, and I feel like I'm being disrespectful when I cut him off, when I act like I know what he's going to say, or when I have the last word, when I don't like what he needs to lead me on because he knows what's best because he's a good man of God.
Mm. So he's a man that is worthy of that kind of respect.
Absolutely. We've been married 13 years and it's been a good time, ups and downs with communication, but we definitely love each other so much. We'll go to the ends of the earth to make it work. And it definitely is, but I feel like this would honor God as well if I follow through with this one thing.
Yeah, that's good. Well, I hope you do. And it'll make a difference. Thank you. Audrey, you're up next there in New Mexico. How are you today?
No, I'm doing well. How are you?
Good. We're talking about one thing, little things that make a big difference. What is it, do you think, in your marriage?
I think the one thing that we are trying to work on is putting our phone down when the other one's speaking to us, not looking up from it, and trying to make eye contact, putting that phone just on the side and completely engaging in the conversation, whether we're at dinner or just got home from work or anything like that. Just trying to pay complete attention and give each other 100%.
How does it feel when the phone's put in place of connecting eyeball to eyeball with each other? How does that feel?
I think it makes a big difference. It makes you feel like you're noticed a lot more and like it's more important than any notification that pops up throughout the conversation.
Yeah, and by the way, this for parents, one of the best ways to connect with your kids is eyeball to eyeball. Yelling at them at the other end of the house isn't necessarily the most effective way to communicate. Getting down on your hands and knees or down at their level and looking them right in the eye, there's something powerful about the eye contact. God gave us that, and it's an important part of the healthy communication that God intends for us in our relationship. All right, quick break, and we'll be back. We're talking about the power of one thing in your marriage. 888-888-1717.
You're listening to Intentional Living with your host, Dr. Randy Carlson. Intentional Living is furnished by Intentional Life Media and is made possible by the generous support of listeners just like you. This program is not a substitute for professional counseling, medical, financial, or legal advice. Intentional Living is not intended to be therapy by radio, but it is intended to help you live an intentional life in Jesus Christ.
When dealing with an emotionally weak person, enter and exit conversations gently. That's a really practical thing to share with you. Because you're dealing with a person who's not going to take a lot of agitation when you want to talk to them about something. And you all know what I'm talking about. You have relationships with people that you can push a certain button with a word that you say or the way that you communicate and just blow this whole thing up. And it's important to understand what doesn't work with an emotionally weak person. Number one, confrontation is not always the best thing with an emotionally weak person. I'm going to go set them straight, or I'm going to confront them. Some people love it that way. There's some people, just tell me, just come at me, I'm okay, I can deal with that. Other people, you can't.
An excerpt from the lesson, our member lesson this week, on this month rather, how do you love and deal with a person that you care for, you love, and you're connected to, but they're emotionally weak? Let's just call it for what it is. You're walking on eggshells many times in the relationship. How do you deal with that? And we lay out about 10 things that you can do. It's on our member site, up on our site for those who are standing with us here at the ministry, keeping us going on intentional living. But a lot of other resources there as well. As you join in support of the ministry today, we'll make sure that we get you that little access code when you go to theintentionallife.com to join us, theintentionallife.com, or call during West Coast business hours, 888-888-1717 is the number. Today, we're talking about getting on the same page, but one thing at a time. What difference is it making? 888-888-1717.
The one thing for marriage that I have found is so important is for us to get up in the morning and pray over our spouse, to lift them up to the Lord and put them in His hands.
The way we work on our marriage is constantly trying to put our marriage before our children.
My 30-day intentional intentions is to have a better attitude toward the way that I speak to my husband.
I've made it the practice of each morning asking her, what thing is there today that you want us to do together?
Why one thing? Just being grateful and thankful for his time and satisfied and content that what he's doing is best for us.
What I want to do this year for my marriage is to thank my husband more often and appreciate him.
It's more of a phrase. It's I choose to. There are definitely times where you don't feel like choosing to love your person, choosing to be kind, choosing to be respectful. But those times, it's most important to choose to love them anyway, to respect them anyway, and to accurately reflect God's love for us to your spouse, especially when you don't feel like it.
I've gone to my wife and says, what is one thing that I can change to make our marriage better? I do that about every 2 months, 3 months.
Boy, I wanted to hear the end of that one. How'd that turn out? Hey, listen, I'll tell you what, if you do that and you do it and the attitude's good and there's communication, it's a great thing in a marriage, in a relationship, any relationship, and work and family, kids, and what have you, neighbors. 888-888-1717. Josh, how are you in Michigan? Looks like you're getting ready to get married.
Yeah, in 2027.
Up next year. All right. So you want to talk about what's the one thing you're working on?
My patience and understanding with her BPD, because she has been through very tough relationships in the past where she was like beaten like an inch of her life twice.
Mm, wow.
And she dealt with sobriety issues, and lately she has taken upon herself to just quit drinking. I'm very proud of her. She's done
good.
3 weeks now, nothing. But I noticed I was losing my patience of the understanding and just listening.
Yeah, and it's going to get, let me tell you a secret.
Being patient with her.
It's going to be much more so after you get married.
Oh, I know it's going to be. Yeah. And I figured if I can do this now, I can get a grip and an idea of how we can understand each other better. It's going to make it easier.
Yeah, much so. In fact, so much so, I would really encourage you, if you're saying the wedding date is out there in 2027, you know, that's down the road, that this is a real opportunity just to get those cards, as it were, face up on the table, and for her and for you, and to really work that through. And I congratulations to her so that she's working to make some changes in her life and been through some things in her life that have been very difficult. And frankly, just on just unnecessary in the world, and they happen to people. And if she can work through those things and you can work through them together, God bless you. But you're aware of the fact that there's this impatience and there's issues that are going to pop up. And what the experience shows is that whatever is there before you get married doesn't tend to vanish after you get married. Especially the things that can be negative in the relationship, negative emotions, negative reactions, negative communication generally doesn't get better after you get married as a result of being married. If anything, it's exacerbated and they tend to become more obvious and prevalent and pervasive in a relationship. Not to discourage, but it sounds like you're aware of the fact that progress is there, but being aware of it, what happens to so many young people when they get married is that they assume that after the wedding, after or moving in together, and that's not what God's intention is, but after the wedding, after getting married, things will get better, and they don't tend to do that. And so dealing with things up front before is such a better way of approaching it, for sure. All right, learning to be patient. God bless you, Josh. We'll be thinking of you in that journey. Adam, how are you, my friend?
Good. How you doing, Dr. Randy?
Good, good. Looks like you have a question for me. What's up?
Yeah, my wife and I have been married for 4 years, and we've got two kids. We've got a 3-year-old boy and a 1-year-old girl. The thing is, we both love the Lord Jesus, but we're in different denominations, and it's been a struggle to some extent trying to navigate how to raise the kids, and we don't always see eye to eye about how we want to raise the kids and some of the theological differences that are involved. And sometimes personally I feel like it's been a compromise, but I'm giving a little bit more in the compromise than she is, if you understand my drift on that.
Yeah, I do. And when you use the word denomination, some people are thinking, well, you go to the First Baptist and she wants to go to the Second Baptist. Are we talking about huge differences in your theology and your understanding of Scripture?
We're talking about two different branches, let's say, of Christianity.
Okay. All right. And this is new, or this has been a part of your life for all of these years you've been married?
This has always been the case. She was raised, you know, born into that particular church, and I was raised in another, born into another church.
Yeah. So did you just assume that after you got married and had kids, did you really talk about this, or was it just in a back burner?
We talked about it. I mean, I'm involved in a local church and everything, and, you know, we both have the essentials. We believe that Jesus died and rose again on the third day, the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. There's just certain things, you know, that we disagree about.
Yeah, and what did you assume?
Secondary matter.
But when you got married, you didn't have children. What did you think would happen? Did you ever talk about this? Like, hey, what are we going to do when we have kids?
Yeah, we thought that, you know, I guess we thought in some respect it would go easier than it has, you know. We understood that going into it, it was going to be a challenge to some extent, but, you know, we share core beliefs that other religions don't, you know.
All right. Well, that's good. That's good news. Now,
here's the one thing. It's like,
oh, go ahead.
Like, for instance, okay, both of our services are on the same day and time, obviously Sunday morning, you know, Sunday morning. So 1 week I'll take the kids to mine, and then the next week she takes the kids to hers. But now how we navigate that as they grow up, you know, how are we going to say, well, daddy goes to this church, mommy goes to that church, you know, I don't want it to be a divisive thing between us and mm-hmm. how we deal with the kids either, and taking sides with the kids, or, you know, eventually they're going to have to come to their own beliefs, you know, about.
Yeah, how old are the kids now?
They believe 3 and 1.
All right. Wait, you recognize the consequences when you got married are now becoming a reality.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's just a reality. Now, we got people listening and saying, well, what you know, what we're talking about here. Let me be very clear. what I heard you guys say was that you guys have some core beliefs. And do you both believe, and are teaching, maybe even more important than what you believe, but what you're teaching is that Jesus Christ is the only way to salvation. There is no other way to salvation. And that's a big question. Do we believe that God is the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, the Trinity? Do we believe that there is a heaven, that there is a hell, that there is judgment, and that we have an opportunity to love Him and serve Him while we're here, that there is eternity? And what I would focus on, if I were you, and by the way, this is not uncommon. We've got people, you all are listening, you're going to join in, I'm sure, in comments on this. But if you both agree on that, you need to be teaching your children what the Bible teaches. And that some of these other things that maybe we practice in our denomination is different than what Daddy preaches in his denomination are not essential when it comes to the fact that you know the Lord Jesus personally. And that's the message that needs to be taught. Now, I would say this to any young person getting married, do not discount this kind of thing when you make a decision to get married to someone. Because the Bible is very clear. How can two people walk together unless they be in agreement? And that has to do with a lot of things. And of course, our faith is number one. It has to do with what do you believe about money? What do you believe about debt? What do you believe about children and raising children? What do you believe and what's important to you when it comes to our relationship and intimacy and communication and these things? And if we discount that before we get married, thinking that it's going to change after we get married, and by the way, we just talked about that a moment ago, didn't we? When we do that, we create a problem in a relationship. And I know we live in a time where we've talked a lot about opposites attracting one another and the power of opposites attracting each other. But in the process, we find that when people are in agreement, that's what's most important. If I were you and your wife, I would sit down together and ask this question. What do we believe together? What is it that's most important? And how can we together raise these kids to come to a personal relationship with Jesus Christ? Because if you guys end up being this, you're going to confuse kids. I mean, bottom line, kids get confused. And the probability that they say, hey, I don't want any of this, is much higher as a result. Getting on the same page and around what the Bible teaches should be the goal of both of you.
Is there a person in your life that's difficult to love right now? In Dr. Randy's teaching, Love the Emotionally Sensitive, you'll learn how to care for emotionally struggling people while remaining healthy yourself.
How do we love an emotionally sensitive person? We are to be long-suffering. We're to be kind. Also, we've got to be intentional. If we're not intentional in dealing with a person, you're going to get sucked right into the emotionality of the relationship.
Start your year right and support Intentional Living with a monthly gift. When you do, you'll be a part of a special group that can listen to this message and get unlimited access to all of Dr. Randy's past teachings. Don't miss out on this special New Year opportunity. Give now and you'll get access to these life-changing resources today by calling 888-888-1717 or visiting theintentionallife.com. That's theintentionallife.com.
All right. Thank you, Kurt. And again, thank you for your prayers. And boy, your financial support needed, important, valued. We ended the calendar year behind where we needed to be by about $30,000. And I just lay that out there for those of you who could help us here in this wrap-up of January to make that catch-up. We'd appreciate it. We really would. I would. Go to theintentionallife.com. Click on donate or call 888-888-1717. Last call we just had gets me, Josh, praying for you, my brother, and you, not only Josh, but also the call coming in from Adam on getting on the same page. Both of you really, that's critical. That's what really, I think that's where we get in trouble so often in our marriages, focusing on the essentials. All right, Lisa, welcome, and from Michigan, how are you?
I'm good. Thank you.
Good. Good. What's your one thing?
I've been married 39 years, four children. It's been a hard 15, 20 years, the last 20 years. My stand-in, or my for sure, is my prayers, my daily prayers from the day I married that man. I pray for him. I pray for myself. I pray for our marriage. And I believe that that is the only thing that has taken me through these rough times. And I've really grieved the last 15, 20 years.
I'm feeling like
I've missed out. But then when I talk to the Lord, then I realize, he's my husband. That's who he gave to me to love. And so then he empowers me to continue to pray, to continue to love, and to continue to keep my family together.
Yeah, well, that's a tribute to your growing faith, and I'm sorry that you have to do that. I mean, obviously, that's what you've chosen to do, and God bless you for it. Let me ask you, though, if you woke up today, Lisa, and things were the way you would think God intended for your relationship to be, what one thing would be different in your relationship?
I would feel more alive, more loved, more cherished if he was intimate. He stopped that intimacy part when I delivered my fourth child. Maybe it was due to that he was starting to get different heart disease and things, and he was having difficulty. He had to stop working because of a massive injury. We went through quite a bit.
Yeah, it sounds like life changes. But I wouldn't deny, in the process of prayer and trusting God and being thankful for your husband, to be able to communicate those things together and see what's going on with him and you, and maybe get into counseling even at this stage in your life and say, what one thing could we do to just have a little more closeness and just intimacy in our relationship at your stage? And they're different during every stage, but that's an important part of marriage. Thoughtful prayer, indeed. All right, we got to run, but I'll tell you what, we're going to just leave. Can we open the phone lines again? Let's do that, because we're going to record for tomorrow. We're going to air the show. So what's one thing that's made a difference in your marriage, or one thing that would make a difference? 888-888-1717. I'm Dr. Randy, Intentional Living, Ministry of Intentional Life Media. See you tomorrow.